Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
Well, we've been talking about this concept of focus. Somebody say, my focus. So we've been talking about in life, as people, what do we focus on? What should we be focusing on? And we talked about how it's so powerful when we focus on God. We talked about when we sustain focus on God, it becomes actually a posture of our heart. And the more we maintain that posture, it becomes a lifestyle. And I was talking to one of our men, and he was sharing with me, well, when you have focus and you have posture and you have lifestyle, you have FPL. So you have the power, you have all the power that you need to accomplish what you need to succeed in life. And that's exactly what God wants to give you. He wants to give you power, but for that, for you to have that power, to make an impact, to have a footprint, to walk into the season of its time, you have to have focus. So we're going to talk a little bit more about focus today. Just say it one more time. My focus. When we were all younger, how many people made demands on their parents? You know, they could say all kinds of things to you. I don't know how it is in your home, but I could say things to my kids. They could forget to make their bed. They could forget to brush their teeth. They could forget to comb their hair, but they will not forget what I promised them. And they will ultimately come back and make a demand on the promise that I gave them. Well, actually, it's like that with us with Scripture. We come and we make a demand upon God. God, you said this in your word. God, you said, you promised you would do this. So now I'm bringing this to your attention. And actually, God loves it when we bring things to his attention, bring his word back to him and make a demand off of his word. Not making a demand that's not based off his word, but this demand is based on your promises. So I want to talk to you not so much about what we demand, that's great, but God actually makes a demand of us. So today I want to talk about what the demand that God makes, what God demands. Because we're making demands, but it's a two-way street, that relationship with God. Just as we are making demands, oh, if God's promises, I'm standing on the word, you know. But he makes demands of us as well. God demands to be our only God and our highest focus. How many believe that? He demands to be our only God and our highest focus. We spoke a couple weeks ago about Exodus 20. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. And he goes on further in Exodus to tell us in Exodus 34, 14. He said, do not worship any other gods, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. I don't know if you've ever been in a relationship with a jealous person. Anybody here ever been? You had a jealous girlfriend, or ladies, maybe you had a jealous man, or you had a jealous friend even, right? It's tough, right? They want to make this high demand on your time. They want all of your attention. They want to be your world, your sun, your moon, your universe, right? Now, I'm not necessarily trying to put God in the box of somebody being naturally jealous, but God did use these words to frame a certain concept for us to understand a particular characteristic about God. He said, my name is jealous, and I am a jealous God. So that means the good part is when the devil tries to put his hands on you, God is saying, get your hands off of that. That belongs to me. You don't touch that. You don't get to touch that. But it also means that when it comes to your time and your attention and your life, God is also jealous of that. So when you start pouring your time and your affection and your energy on something else besides him in great quantities, God is going to come to you and say, I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. I'm a jealous God. And he said it that way so that we could begin to wrap our heads around the fact that God wants to be our only God and our highest focus. And this demand is a serious thing, and sometimes we think, oh, well, that's just Old Testament, that's just how he used to operate. But then Jesus comes and he continues to push this same point with us. We see it in Matthew 10:37. He says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I was like, wow, Jesus, that kind of stings. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Wow, that seems like somebody that is really jealous over our attention and our focus and our love. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The concept of supernatural divine jealousy. God is jealous over you, and it has two sides to it. When the devil tries to put his hands on you, God says, no, that belongs to me. But also, when you start putting your attention on money, you put your attention on certain relationships, God says, no, that belongs to me too. We realize that God makes demands of us. He demands our focus. It's not like, hey, this is a good idea. This is something you could do if you get to this place and you grow to this place in God. No, this is like baseline. This is what God requires. He makes a demand on our focus. And I don't know how it is with you parents in the room, how many parents we have in the room right now. You older parents, younger parents, maybe you're thinking about being a parent at some point in your life. Good parents have rewards and consequences, right? In our house, that's what we have. You do the right thing, you get a reward. You do the wrong thing, there's going to be a consequence. Any parent that's worth their salt, there's going to be rewards and consequences. And this is the same concept that God really lays out for us in Deuteronomy 28. And we love to sing the first half of this. We're blessed in the city. Blessed in the... That's what I'm talking. Blessed in the... That's right. But we failed to read the second part of it, which says, if you're not obedient, you're cursed in the city. Cursed in what I'm talking about. You're cursed when you... I know curse probably scares some people here. Okay, we'll just put that to the side for right now. We'll say rewards and consequences. There are rewards for obedience to God. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And you're seeking him. Your focus is on him. And the reward is there. But there's also consequences if our focus gets off and we're focused on all the wrong things and we're going down the wrong road. Guess what? There's consequences. Just like any good father, just like any good mother, if we get off track, right, there's going to be consequences. But the consequences are not because of judgmentalism. The consequences are because of love. Did you know the Bible said who the Lord loves, he corrects? Wow, so that means that it's two sides of love. When God blesses me, he loves me. When he shows me discipline, he also loves me. Because he wants me to get back on track. He wants me to get my focus back on him. Because that's where the greatest blessing is. That's where the greatest reward is. So even in his discipline, even in his rebuke, even in the consequence, is love. Can't tell you how many times I've had this conversation with my kids, and me and my wife, we're sitting there saying, it's because we love you that we don't let you get away with this. If we didn't care, we'd let you do whatever you wanted to. No consequences. The consequences that you feel in life are the evidence of his love. So when I see the reward of God, it's the evidence of his love. When I see the consequences of God, it's the evidence of his love. I think sometimes we don't realize this, but the greatest reward is salvation. It's not healing. It's not a financial blessing. It's not that promotion. The highest reward that God wants to give you is salvation. So sometimes he allows us to walk through things, if we've gotten off course, that will help us get our focus back. Because the greatest reward that he can give you is spending eternity with him. It's going to paradise. That's the big prize, right? He said, man, if your focus gets off, I'm going to give you consequences in love because I want you to get the greatest reward. The greatest reward is salvation. The greatest reward is eternity with him. The greatest reward is heaven. The greatest reward is paradise. We were designed to be with him. And when we get off track and when we fall into this or we fall into sin or we fall into losing our focus, guess what? There's consequences. But in the consequences is love. So that he can get us, navigate our lives back to the place of blessing. When we make him our highest focus, he rewards us. God is a rewarder and a disciplinarian. If we understand that, two sides, go take it home. Go study it. Deuteronomy 28. Take it home with you. The blessings of obedience to God. The consequences of disobedience to God. It's all there. Sometimes we like to think, you know, some people, they paint just one side of the bus, right? They see, oh, God is a God of bless me. Bless me, Lord. Bless me this. Bless me that. Give me the blessing is in the mail. And other people, they think, oh, God is judgmental. He just goes and he's smiting everybody. No, God is a God of mercy and a God of justice. God is a God of rewards and God is a God of consequences. Just like any good parent. But except this parent doesn't make mistakes. I don't know about you, but I have made some mistakes as a parent. But Jesus said, if you, as earthly parents, know how to give good gifts, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to do this thing right? God wants to bless you. Look at somebody and say, God wants to bless me. Look at somebody else and say, God wants to bless me. So when you see consequences in your life, when you see this, and maybe it is the enemy that has caused infirmity in your life, or the enemy has caused some type of blockade on your blessing, on your financial breakthrough, or maybe God has allowed the enemy to do that to get your focus back on him. God doesn't do it, but God might allow it. Because remember, the greatest blessing is not financial. The greatest blessing is not healing. The greatest blessing is salvation. The greatest blessing is salvation. And in his love, he may allow you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So that you can see the paradise that he's prepared for you. The table that he's prepared for you in the presence of your enemies. Right focus, right result. Somebody say that with me. Right focus, right result. Wrong focus, wrong result. Right focus, right result. Wrong focus, wrong result. God wants to bless you. How many believe that? God wants to bless you. God's desire is not to judge you. God's desire is not to be judgmental with you. God's desire is to bless you. God's desire is that his law is written on your heart. That you just want to do the things that please God. You just want to be in relationship with God. That's what he has a desire for us. You know, God wants to reward us as we seek him. But as we seek him, we begin to find that the tangible things are not really the greatest things. I mean, which would you rather have, a brand new car or a great marriage? Which would you rather have, a brand new house or kids that love you? The greatest blessings are not the tangible things. So Jesus said, look, these are practice things. He said, I'm not going to give you this scripture. Oh, pull this up right here. Luke 16:10. This is great. And we got to understand this because the financial thing, the things oftentimes that we're running after, chasing money, chasing paper. Jesus said, whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest in very little will be dishonest with much. Listen to verse 11. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? See, we've got the focus reversed. We're looking so highly at these financial blessing that God can give us, or this breakthrough promotion, or this big open door in our career, but we've got it reversed. God is saying, if I can trust you with these little things, if I can trust you with $100,000, then I can really begin to trust you with what matters. And so we start to understand Matthew 6:33, which is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, all these things, that's not a big deal. All these things that you've been desiring and you've been wanting, I'm going to add those things to you, but your focus has to be right. Seek first the kingdom, live righteously, and all these things, that spouse you've been praying for, come on now. That job you've been praying for, I'm going to add them to you. But you got to seek first. You got to have your focus on point if you want to walk into that. God wants to bless you beyond what you've imagined, but he has to remain the focus. Sometimes we get it reversed and we start to think, man, if I just had the next Amazon.com idea. Just really like Jeff Bezos type of money. Everything would be. Do you know that Jeff Bezos, a couple years back, he lost his marriage fall apart, marriage of 25 years, $38 billion settlement. All of a sudden, the money doesn't seem so important anymore. God wants you to be blessed. But when you put him first, the Bible says the Lord blesses and adds no sorrow with it. See, that's the allure oftentimes it's happening with the enemy. He says, oh, I'll bless you, but you see, you know, not seeing what he's gotten behind his back. I'm going to bless you with millions of dollars, but you're not going to be happy. Your wife's going to hate you. So when Steve Jobs said, man, I'd love to have the next Apple company. You know, if you got Apple stock, you're sitting pretty good right now. But, man, I'd like to have, like, Steve Jobs type of money. Well, if you died a Buddhist like Steve Jobs, that $10 billion estate that you left behind can't do anything for you. So there's some things in life that are riches, and then there's true riches. There's riches, and then there's true riches. And so God is saying, look, it's not that I won't give you riches. I'm just asking you to have your focus on me. And not only that, he's not just asking. He's demanding. God is a demanding. No, listen, God gives the best rewards, the highest rewards, the most amazing rewards, the rewards that are beyond what you could ask or think according to his riches and glory, but he gives the highest demands as well. As I demand, I don't want your money. I want you. I want the whole thing. I think that's the problem sometimes. We come to church and they think, oh man, they try to make it seem like God's after my money. No, he's after much more than your money. He's after you. He wants you. That money thing, that's just a test. He said, if you're faithful with money, I'll give you much. That's just a money test, because the Bible says where a person's money is, the treasure is, there his heart is also. That's just God testing you, your heart. That's just God testing your heart. If you were super offended with what Jessica said a few minutes ago, then maybe it's because God doesn't have your heart yet. I got no problem with Jessica coming up here and saying that. Why? God already has my heart. Money, non-issue. Why? Because God wants to bless me. My focus is on him, though. I want money. Absolutely. It's better to have money than to not have money. And God wants to bless you. But our focus can't be there. Man, it's great to have great relationships, great friends you can call on, a great woman by your side. That can't be the focus, though. Relationships. God said, you can't put anybody on this pedestal beside me. Nobody in front of me. Nobody near me. It's got to be me. That's my demand. I'm going to bless you in the city. I'm going to bless you in the field. I'm going to bless everything you put your hands on. I'm going to bless you in your going in and coming out. But this is my requirement. This is my demand. I have to be your highest focus. Mark 8:36, Jesus said, now what good is it for a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And that's where the greatest question, that's where the greatest reward, that's where the greatest victory is. So I want to train my focus. You know that more that you focus on God, the better that you get at it. Some of you, I know, because I work with a lot of men and we have conversations, and sometimes people are like, oh, sometimes I just tired, I fall asleep reading the Bible. Well, that's a start, okay? Better you fall asleep reading the Bible than fall asleep watching a sitcom, all right? But the more that you do it, the more you try to focus on him, guess what? The better your focus will get. The more I practice focusing, the more I get better at focusing. We have a lot of practices, right, Johnny, and times in the studio, and people that have not been doing it for long, focusing on music long, they can't focus on music long, can they? So after 20 minutes, after 30 minutes, their attention span starts to drop. They start getting tired, or they start thinking about other things, and they can't focus on the music because they haven't practiced focusing on the music. Well, the more you focus on the music, right, Johnny, you start to get better at focusing on the music. Now you're starting to hear different nuances that other people can't hear. Now other people are listening to a song and they say, ooh, that's a nice song. It has a nice beat. But somebody that has a higher focus is saying, well, I hear the drums, I hear the bass, I hear the guitar, I hear the chord progressions, I hear they're in a major key, I hear they're in a minor key, I hear that's an accidental there, I hear that this has happened, and they switched modes. That's because you practice focus. Sometimes we get in practice, right, Johnny, and I see the focus start to go down like this. And it's not because we don't have a great team. It's just because there's a difference on the stage, certain people's focus level. They can focus for longer. And I'll turn to Johnny. I'll say, Johnny, the team isn't with us any longer. They've checked out for the night. train your focus to be on God. And it will increase, and you will see things that you never seen before in the scripture. Things in the spirit will come alive to you in a way that they've never come alive before because you're focusing. The more I focus, the more I see. The more I train my focus, the more I can hold my focus longer. Will you bow your heads with me today? God, I thank you for the power of focus, for teaching us how to focus, for helping us learn to focus. Because God, you demand it of us. You want to bless us. You want to increase us. You want to add to us. It's your great desire to do that. But you make this one rule, and you're a stickler on it, and you don't bend on it, and that's you have to be our highest focus. God, help us do that. Help us focus on you like never before. Help us in this season step up our focus. We want to train ourselves to focus more, to focus better on you. God, I thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts, touching each and every person in the faith journey that they are. God, help them to increase focus in this season. Increase focus. And if that means they got to cut out some distractions, or they got to take some things that are pulling time away and put those things to the side, God, let it happen. Help us do it. Give us the strength to put some stuff on the side, put some stuff, rearrange our schedule, compartmentalize our life, that there's space to focus on God like we need to. Because God, we know our greatest victories, our greatest success stories, greatest breakthroughs are going to come from our level of focus on you. And as heads are bowed, if you're at a place today and you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with God. I've allowed my focus to get way off, and I need to get back on focus with Jesus. I need to get back to this place of focus. I need to get my relationship right with him, where I'm focused. I want you to slip up your hand. Let me pray for you today. Amen. 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 Most important decision that we make is saying yes to Jesus. Yes, I want to focus on you. Yes, I want to put you first place. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to say this prayer with me. If you're here or you're online, you can say this prayer with us. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Jesus, help me focus on you. Help me focus on what you've done for me and to follow you better. I'm sorry for the times I lost focus. I'm sorry for the time I've been all over the place. I'm sorry for my sins. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, help me. I want to do better. I want to be like you. So help me focus on you so I can be like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this message, make sure to like and share. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, share hope with someone today.